brief. Hopefully, 5 to 10 minutes. I will put the cost to do the house. So, going back to Jay's question, I do have a prop, and it's for those of you at the back. It's a globe, and it's to remind us that we actually all live on one planet. My other prop is a picture of the Murray Basin region. So those two will guide my thoughts as I go through this. For those of you that don't know who and what I am, I'm the director of Murky, which is a charity and a social enterprise that's promoting and delivering sustainable ways of living and working. First of all, I've got to point out that there are many people in this room who are probably much better qualified than I am to be up here talking about the environment and the city region. And I trust that they'll join me later if they've got any other questions or answers. I was asked to write a letter to the incoming Prime Minister, whoever they were, and obviously that letter owes an awful lot to an awful lot of people, and I will put those acknowledgements on the letter when it goes on the website. In particular, just for this evening, I just would like to say that, in particular, the Manchester Mersey Bio Region Group needs an acknowledgement for my letter. The Economics Foundation and the founders of Murky, because they all inform the letter that I wrote. For those of you that are unfamiliar with what Murky did, we are the charity who 14 years ago actually did all the things that people are talking about sustainable society. 14 years ago, we bought up an old derelict mill to make it a positive example of a sustainable society. We refurbished it sustainably using 95% reclaimed and recycled materials, putting in energy efficiency measures that are still reasonably efficient today, although obviously things can change. We brought people in, we employed them, we trained them up, we did training such as energy efficiency building and DIY, and we set up the mill as an office space and an incubation and support unit for voluntary groups and for social enterprises, and as well as providing a conference facility and a computer suite for the community. It's what I can only describe as basically a really excellent example of what you can achieve with grit, determination and vision, and quite a lot of blood, sweat and tears. So, before I begin, can I just ask you all just to close your eyes, a bit like Will asked you to do, and I want you to think about the things that you would have in an ideal and a sustainable city region. And just very briefly, how many of you have green areas in this ideal world? So ideal sustainable city. That's about 3/4 of you. Things like wildlife. Yeah, good show of hands. Clean air. Water. Fantastic. Okay, those, the world over, are things that make us happy, and they signify a good environment. And yet, we persist in destroying the very things that make us happy, enable the planet and us to survive. The recent decision to put monetary value on wildlife and landscape is one I sort of welcome, although a move away from consumerism and capitalism is perhaps one I would welcome even more. The Murky strapline is ideas into action for a sustainable future, and we pride ourselves on being focused and positive, so my letter was very upbeat. I'll begin that. And what I'm going to do is let you read it with maybe a few little bits of the side as well, if that's okay. Okay, so first of all, we basically said, fantastic, we've got a newly formed Northwest Sustainable Development Agency, getting rid of the Northwest Development Agency. And basically we said that we dropped the idea of a city region, that's what Joe was saying, and we've now, more actually, renamed it as the Bio Region. We're looking forward to working together with the government and with other UK bioregions to produce the first UK bioregional plan for 2012. So we're moving bigger. And I really do think that we need people to challenge and query things to get the best results, but I do feel that Northwest Development Agency has failed to grasp or fully understand the concept of sustainability. And anything that places its faith in nuclear power and gross domestic product needs to be seriously questioned. So, the motivation gives us a natural bioregion. If we are to become sustainable, we need to work towards regional self-sufficiency, sourcing much more of our requirements within the region. Which doesn't mean that we can't source things from outside that, it just means that the hierarchy basically makes us look closer to home. And if there are changes in the sourcing and production that affect others, then we need to work with them to help with this change. So, going back to the lecture, in the Northwest, we've already begun work on mapping out our ecological habitats, looking at our leisure areas, our rivers, community forests, nature reserves, green spaces, so that any development in the bioregion is carefully planned. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? There will be going to be collaborative work between the regional agencies, the universities, schools and local authorities, and the third sector. And I would say that I think the third sector is one sector that hasn't actually been mentioned this evening. And we're doing an awful lot of work working around sustainability at the third sector level, whether it's supporting social enterprises or whether it's actually delivering. So, great collaborative work was done with Manchester City Council to produce the Manchester Climate Change Action Plan. Manchester, a certain future, should have been an uncertain future, but hey. And we want that spread out across the rest of the region, so that all the boroughs use this as an example of good practice. As well as biodiversity action plans and tree strategies. So we talk again in the letter about making the bioregions more resilient and self-sufficient, looking at food growing, energy production, and looking at vertical and rooftop gardens within the city, which means that we'll be able to control some of the temperature rises, which are going to happen anyway because of climate change. Access to green space and nature is an essential requirement for people, as well as an essential requirement for wildlife. In Manchester, we're quite lucky, we've got 14% tree cover, which I think is about 7% for the rest of the area, so that's not bad for us. There are quite a lot of organisations that are working on looking at food self-sufficiency. There's a group called Abundance, which is taking fruit from trees in people's gardens. And there's also the Kindling Trust, which is looking at working with food features and looking at how we can be more self-sufficient with food. 2 minutes?
Yep.
Okay. We're also thanking the government for introduction of an environment bill, which states that the environment has a right to exist above and beyond the economic and social benefits to humans. Bit of a controversial one there. Ecuador is actually the first country to give nature the right to exist, persist, maintain and regenerate its vital cycles, structure and processes. Nature is not just an object to be appropriated and exploited by people, but is a rights-bearing entity that has to be treated with parity under law. I'm not sure how many major industries in the Northwest will react if they're taken to court by the common people and fined for their pollution of the watershed. We looked at energy percent, so that there will be a decrease in our energy requirements and the creation of green jobs through the implementation of a mass home improvement programme. We looked at small-scale wind, hydro production, solar panels, highly energy efficient standards on all new buildings. From gas, oil and coal, and cheap oil will force us to use alternatives such as solar, variable hydro and wind, as well as looking at small scale hydro like you see in new buildings and canals. Looking at biomass, using timber produced from our increased forests, we've got increased forest cover, and communities using small scale combined heat and power. As well as the development of new technologies like we were talking about, such as hydrogen fuel cells. Looking at refurbishment of vacant buildings, looking at encouraging social enterprise in areas such as reclamation, recycling, food production, food distribution, that will result in lower unemployment levels and a stronger, more resilient local economy. And we said at the end that we were delighted that we finally had a PM who understands sustainability and the need to implement a one planet economy. Now, I had intended to look at all the partial manifestos and to give a rating, but unfortunately, we worked it over. The last time I did it, of the three main parties, it was the Dems that came out most sustainable. So, while this letter promotes bioregionalism and self-sufficiency, it's not ignoring or at the expense of the rest of the world. Support for other parts of the world, in particular the Global South, is an integral part of this new order. Two such things as helping the transfer of new cleaner technologies and support for instant diversification. The country that billions of pounds in debt, as we've already talked about, I can only hazard a guess as to where the money to pay for all these measures will come from. I suggest maybe scrap the new trident, do something about the banks, increase the tax on the rich, Robin Hood tax, pull out of Afghanistan possibly. I believe that we have the technology, but we just need the political will and the vision.
Okay, thank you very much, Carol.